This is Dan the Dad, and you're listening to the Blues Hockey Podcast. And if you change the channel, you're grounded.
Welcome back to Blues Hockey Podcast. Your host, Jason, along with Chris.
What it do?
Well, we had quite a little break there. I know after the Game 5 heroics of Tyler Bozak, we kind of recorded and they're like, oh, well, Blues are on upswing. If certain things happen, we might be in good shape. And after that, nothing really happened. Unfortunately, they look good. Let's be honest. Game 6, we'll do a real quick recap. I think they look good, and then the third period just slowly fell apart.
I got to go to 3 total playoff games this year. The first 2 against Minnesota, and then Game 6 against Colorado. I think they looked best as a team in Game 6 against Colorado. They were beating Colorado to lose pucks. They played with the lead. I think you're right. I think that third period, the big difference was St. Louis was playing not to lose. And Colorado was playing to win and shut the series out.
Or shut it down. The prevent defense, basically. And honestly, it was looking okay. And then Comfort got that one goal that was, let's be honest, like Husa made a lot of great saves. But man,
that was a bad one.
And let's be honest, like somebody made this comparison, and mind you, somebody who really likes him, but he has like the Jake Allen qualities where he can make the most tremendous saves in the world.
Yeah.
And then like something like that, you're just like, why didn't you not have that one? And you're just
fair.
And it was frustrating. Let's be honest, because at the end, we saw what happened with 5 seconds left.
Dude, it happened right in front of me. I was at that game because Hounds, one of the bands that I managed, was playing the Budweiser Beer Garden before the game and in between periods. So we got standing room tickets, which the standing room area is right behind the goal where the Blues defend in the first and third. And I was standing on the left corner of the standing room only area, which is just over the left shoulder of Husso. I watched that play develop in the Colorado end. I watched him start skating towards us. And I looked up at the clock and there was like 12 seconds. And I was like, this dude's going to score, because everybody backed up. Like they just kept conceding ice to him. And when Helm crossed the blue line and wound up, I was like, uh-oh. And sure enough, that red light went on with like 4.5 seconds left.
Yeah, so the Blues drop a heartbreaker, and I'll ask you this question. So the Blues losing 6 games, which we predicted, and we kind of thought, that, man, mind you, it was a very winnable series by a long shot. Considering we were on our backup goalie, you lost your top, let's say, 2 or 3 defensemen. We'll say 2, because I think Krug, the top 2 defensemen for most of the series. So you're kind of down a couple of guys, and man, they lost one of their defensemen too. I would have loved to have both teams at full strength for that series to see how it would have played out, because I think it was a fantastic series. And obviously it showed, because the Blues are the only team to hand them losses in the playoffs so far.
I'll tell you right now, Jason, even without a full squad, if St. Louis had found a way to win that game 6 and they had gone back to Denver for a game 7, I think St. Louis takes it. And I'm not saying that as a homer. I'm saying that as a guy who knows how sports goes and hockey. And you have to consider, this is a Colorado Avalanche team that has been a darling for many years, and many big name analysts picked to win a cup for years on end, and haven't found a way to get out of the second round. And when Colorado went up 3-1 and couldn't put the Blues away at home, the way it happened, like being up 3-0 and losing that lead and losing in overtime, I think that was the first of a, oh crap, here we go again. And the Blues, like Colorado played scared in that first part of that game. And you could see it. Mm-hmm. And the Blues did everything they needed to do. The Blues played 45 minutes of really good hockey and 15 minutes of prevent defense. And the last 15 minutes of that third period, you saw Colorado get its legs and do what Colorado does.
Yeah. Because Colorado is, as much as, obviously don't like them, but they're a really good team. And obviously their reason why they won, were really close to winning the President's Trophy this year. Yep. And they're obviously the best team in the West, right? Throughout the season, and it proved how good they are. I mean, they got a lot of great players. The Blues are just a couple players off. So we'll get into it more, but the Blues obviously dropped this one. I want to talk about a little bit what had post game, but like the locker clean out day kind of talk. So Braden Schenn, obviously all of us were very much like, he's not playing. Like obviously something's going on because he's not scoring any goals, but he's still doing the hitting and but 3 broken ribs, torn shoulder. So, yeah. I mean, he was pretty messed up and still managed to get through most of that game. Bennington does not need surgery in the offseason. So, which is good. Let's put it the rest now and get this over with. So obviously the whole Kadri incident was brought up in. I think Bennington handled the answer very well. And they asked about the water bottle situation, which we kind of talked about last podcast, where there's a water bottle thrown at Kadri, and he admitted throwing at the Kadri, and he said, I'm sitting there. This guy's sitting here like smiling and talking about how great of a game it was and how much in this. And I'm sitting there with my leg in a brace.
Yeah.
And as he basically said, the quote was, "I was a God-given opportunity for him to throw the water." Mind you, and it was an empty water bottle. Wasn't have any liquid in it. Didn't even come. And he said it literally landed 2 feet, and near him. So it didn't even get hit him, So he admitted to it. Let's move on. I mean, I know because we're a Blues podcast, obviously we like Bennington, but let's be honest, for what he's done on the ice, swinging the stick, going after different players on San Jose that one time, including Dubnyk. A lot of people don't like Jordan Bennington around the league.
Agreed.
So that's kind of why that narrative kind of was, he was somehow became the villain of everything. Obviously the whole racist messages didn't help. And then obviously a good story for him to come back.
Yeah, but you can't put that on him.
Correct. But I mean, that's the narrative, but obviously he didn't do it, but there's sympathy then getting for Kadri. So then when there's a negative story, so just kind of a pile on situation where it's like, sure, you have that and it just kind of piled on. And say what you want. I heard some people, I know Tim Peel, who was on the show, is getting crap for this. Nazem Kadri got hit from behind on game 3 of the Western Conference Final by Evander Kane and is out for the rest of the playoffs. Probably today came out that he might be able to return, but he's probably out for the rest of the playoffs.
Yep.
Some people say karma, man. Say karma, say what you want. It's this interesting, just how things work out. So we'll leave it at that. And so the Blues, looks like no major injuries outside of what Schenn happened. Hopefully Bennington said he'll be ready for the next season. Perron basically said he wants to come back. Armstrong said he wants to come back. Almost every insider said they think he's coming back. So once again, he'll probably sign his only contract with the St. Louis Blues, depending on what it is. We'll talk about all the offseason goings in the next podcast. We'll save that as a wrap up to the, complete season. But we'll do our usual grades. I know that was the thing that we always do at the end here. So we're just going to go through real quick all the grades. I saw Rutherford did his, and he did a regular season and playoff one.
I'm down with that.
Okay, if you want to do that, we'll go through that. So I'm going to go through, and I won't read what he said. I'll just read what players were. So Ivan Barbashev. We'll start with forwards and work our way down. So Barbashev did really well this year, a career high of 26 goals. and 60 points. So basically doubling his career totals for both things. But in the playoffs, not great. Demoted to the fourth line. Before we see your grade, do you think Ivan Barbashev just played above his pay grade this year and had a really great, and you not a free agent this year, it's next year he's a UFA, but do you think he is more than a fourth liner, or do you think the fourth line is about where he should be slotted in at, as maybe a guy who can rotate up every once in a while?
I think that this next year will tell you that. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's ready for prime time after 1 year. We've seen many a player have a lights out year and come back and just not be able to replicate it. That said, I don't know how you can be anything but impressed with what this guy did this year. You know, I'm not going to go put his name on the back of a Winter Classic jersey, but, but you know, the guy was money all year. You know, I think he was leading the team in goals or tied for the lead in goals for
early on. Yeah.
A good portion of the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to answer that question after 1 year. I think if he can do it again, then yeah, you're looking at a middle six guy.
So what would be your grade for Ivan Barbashev? So regular season,
A. Playoffs, probably a D.
That's my exact grade as well. We won't do pluses and all that stuff. I just, whatever. Right. So, A and a D. Obviously, you bottomed out for whatever reason. Nothing came out that he was hurt, at least. There's nothing was said, so maybe he was hurt, and that just never got revealed or nicked up or whatever. Tyler Bozak, you know, he signed late in the year for a very team-friendly contract. Played on the fourth line, was a penalty kill guy, after signing, you know, 3 year, $5 million per deal. What do you think of Tyler Bozak? 3 goals, 9 assists this year. Playoffs, he did have 2 goals. So did contribute almost as many goals in the playoffs that he did in the regular season. So,
yeah, I'm a Bozak guy and I always have been. I'd give him a C for the regular season. I think he served his role well. I don't think he did anything that made him stand out, but he didn't do anything that made him stand out in a bad way either. Playoffs, I'd give him a solid B. I think he was one of our, especially in that Colorado series, I think he was one of our most consistent bottom six guys. Like when he was on there, there was games in that Colorado series where the Blues couldn't complete 3 passes in a row. But Bozak was solid when he was in there. I'd give him a B in the playoffs.
I would really like to see the makeup of that fourth line change a little. Like Bozak is great. Torpachenko was great. If you can find a speedy right winger who can get in, it can hit, and get it on the forecheck, that will be a really great line for next year. So I think they need to do a little bit something with that fourth line. But
he's back or do you think he's gone?
If he wants to come back, I think he comes back, and I think he winds up being your fourth line extra forward next year. So yeah, like on some games when they need him, you know, he'll play, and then obviously maybe when they want more of a grinding fourth line, maybe they'll put some whatever UFA they decide to sign, or maybe somebody like Dakota Joshua or somebody like that, who was, you know, maybe even slot the next guy we're going to talk about, Logan Brown, down to the fourth line. As much as we kind of talked about him wanting to be a top nine guy, started off pretty well, they kind of trailed off throughout the year, didn't play in the playoffs at all. So I want to give him the same thing as Rutherford gave, was a C. I mean, he came out with a bang, showed that he has some skill and can have it, but obviously there's a reason why Ottawa soured on him. And I think we kind of saw it where he's just very inconsistent. So yeah, I think if he can change his role a little bit and can get in more and be more of a fourth line grinding guy, maybe improve his face-offs a little bit like Robert Thomas did, maybe there's a new role for him, and then maybe that could be his type of role for now on. But
yeah, I think he's going to be a work in progress guy. But again, you can see what we had to give up to get him.
Exact same.
You know, so yeah, he's an upgrade over that. I would give him a C for the regular season. I think that everything you said, started out great, kind of tailed off towards the middle end of the season. But I think you see what can be with him. It's just going to be getting an off season with him, strength and conditioning, you know, getting him used to more how we do things in St. Louis. And I think that he has the ability to live up to his first round pick status.
Okay, it'd be nice. So the big offseason acquisition last year, Pavel Buchnevich, 30 goals, 46 assists, 76 points. Basically a tremendous pickup for Sammy Blaine, a second round pick. That's one of the steals of last offseason. Helped make the power play unit number two in the league, played on the penalty kill, all around awesome guy. It worked out great. So obviously easy A for me. Same in the I honestly want to get in the playoffs. There's a couple of games where he disappeared, but then when he got going, his passing is very underrated, right? I think. Kind of like Tarasenko, where like he had some great passes that, you know, Thomas finished some goals on. So I think that's a good combination for the future. So let's keep going with that. So Pavel Buchnevich, A's all around for me.
Same.
Obviously he endeared himself to me in game two of the year when he just headbutted a dude. So right then and there, I'm like, that's my new favorite player.
I love him.
So that was immediately, I'm like, that dude is insane enough to headbutt some guy like right in front of the ref and get suspended for a game. So deal. Dakota Joshua. So obviously a big fourth line guy, played well enough to make the team, but then kind of trailed off, and he's doing pretty well down in the Springfield right now, which we'll talk about them after our grades. But you know, kind of went up and down throughout the year. So I give him, obviously we're not doing pluses, it'd be a C plus if we're doing pluses, but I'll do a C. He played a little bit in the playoff, just one playoff game. So really nothing you can say there. So I'll just say a C all around for me.
Yeah, I'll echo that. You know,
3 goals, 5 assists, for 8 points, just to let you know quick.
To me, he's pretty much the exact same as Tyler Bozak. Like, he didn't do anything to me this year that made him stand out in a good way, but he didn't do anything that made him stand out in a bad way. He filled the role well. I never felt like he was a detriment on the ice. I would like to see more from him. I feel like there's a lot of people around hockey who are way higher on him than I am, but I would say that a C is a solid place for him.
Yeah. My friend, Rob is very high on, Dakota Joshua. Loves that Dakota Joshua. So next guy we had very high hopes for, and I'll be honest, I'm officially off the hype train here, and I think it's time for a change of scenery for this guy. Klim Kostin made the team, didn't play much, and kind of got put up in, you know, after winning the KHL championship. I know a lot of people were high again on him. Came over and seemed like he was doing okay and started off on the third line and then quickly got down to the fourth line and then was sitting and then quickly got sent down to the minors by December. Did okay in the AHL. He hit a lot, which is great, but for the first round pick, what he's projected as, same as Logan Brown. I think he's basically our Logan Brown, I guess you could say. Like, I think it's time for a change of scenery for him. He's an RFA this year. I think they'll qualify him and everything because he's doing okay in the minors, but there's also that chance that he's done over here and maybe he wants to go back to KHL, and that's a possibility, or he may just wants to change the scenery to some other team. Who knows? But I go with I'll be honest, I'm going to go with an F because at the end of the day, for what we expected of him, he did not live up to it. So he gets an F for me.
Yeah, man, I really wanted him. I wanted this to be the year. You know, he made the team. He showed glimpses of it at the end of the previous year. And it just never got together here. You know, you saw, like you mentioned, you saw what he did in the KHL and winning the championship. And I don't know why he can't seem to put it together here in the NHL.
He has all the tools, man. It's just one of those things where, mind you, he's still pretty young and only like 22, 23 years old. So, I mean, he's got, you know, like potential. I mean, he's still not like old by any means, but I guess he's been around since he's been 18. So we've been waiting for this potential to go through in 5 years. The late bloomer.
And that's maybe the trick, man. That,
is he a
that
late
right
bloomer
there.
Or are you just going to hold on to him and pray that something happens? Like, well, let's look at Barbashev. We were waiting for all those years for him to be, mind you, he's a good fourth liner, but then this year he broke out for 26 goals. Like, do we have the time to wait till he's 25, 26, or do we maybe look and see what his value is at his lowest too? So do you want to sell this low on him? So there's a lot of different factors.
And you hit on it right there is, you know, change of scenery may be what he needs, but right now, what are you realistically getting in return for Klim Kostin? Not much.
Zach Sanford.
How many years left on his deal?
He's an RFA this year.
All right. Look, man, I say that you offer him a deal. If someone wants him, then take the picks in return. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if you can wind up getting a because if you get sign him, I believe it has to be a one-way deal for now on. So they're getting to sign a two-way, or unless you convince them to take a two-way deal, Sue, but still he'll have to pass through waivers. And I don't know if you're going to get him through waivers, honestly. So be interesting to see. So we'll talk about one of the breakout guys for this year, Jordan Kyrou. So 27 goals, 46 assists, 75 points. Playoffs, 7 goals, 2 assists, and for 9 points. Mind you, all looks great there. I think the regular season definitely an A. He broke out, won the fastest skater, was in the All-Star game, and it seemed like he had trouble after the All-Star game putting stuff together, and then he kind of got it near together at the end of the season, had glimpses of it in the playoff, but on the last goal that Darren Helm scored, if he put in some effort into checking and he just was coasting, if he went into there and checked him, he probably wouldn't have got that line that fast or at all. And it's not all on Jordan Kyrou on that play. There was a lot of stuff that went wrong on that play. But there's a couple of times where Kyrou was just coasting. And
controller unplugged.
Yes, exactly. The controller was unplugged. I think playoffs, I agree. Like, there's a couple of glaring times in the playoffs where the defense is lacking. And I get it. Some guys are just all offense. I mean, Brett Hall was not a fan of playing defense for a long time. I get that. But unfortunately, the way this team is built, you kind of got to be at least somewhat competent on both ends of the ice. Pavel Buchnevich could do it and did it well. Maybe Jordan Kyrou can figure it out. There's a guy on this team who couldn't figure it out. And he just wound up not, being a really good player. And that would be Vladimir Tarasenko. Tarasenko early on was definitely a guy that Ken Hitchcock didn't trust. Wound up being on the fourth line and not even playing in the playoffs during his rookie year. So he wound up, not being great defensively, but I think he really, really worked on his game. And after he worked on his game, he wound up being a really, really, obviously much better defensively than he was, when he was in the past. So maybe Kyrou can do that too and turn it around and be, at least competent on both ends, but, obviously has definitely offensive skill and the flair to be a star.
Yep.
Hopefully on this team, you can get him to be a little more better defensively, a little better on the back checking, and then be a more of an all around player.
I think that's the offseason assignment for Jordan Kyrou is learn to play defense. You mentioned Brett Hall, and yeah, Brett Hall didn't play defense, but if you're going to score 80 goals a season, I don't need you to play defense.
True. And also, Brett Hall didn't remember the guy who turned around with Ken Hitchcock.
Yeah.
In Dallas. Yeah. Turned him, made him play defense. And he even said, he hated it, but he made him a better player. So, yeah. His offseason.
He won a cup in Dallas.
Yeah. And I think the finalize everything, I think somebody after, I think it might have been Rutherford's, thing or whoever was, somebody online said, you basically go to Jordan Kyrou and say, do you want to be the guy that they're showing during national games in between periods that you're the guy on NHL Network? You're the guy that's, in the commercials that they're showing,
potential.
You could be that guy if you improve on these aspects, or do you just want to be a third line guy who can score some goals and be just a power play specialist? Yeah. You could be this guy. You could be a Vladimir Tarasenko guy where you're going to be a star on the cover of video games potentially, or you can just be a speedy guy who gets second and third line minutes the rest of your career, who's just a guy who bounces around.
Let's just be real. Way. He's got two roads to go down right now. He can be Vladimir Tarasenko, or he can be David Perron.
Yeah, nothing against David Perron, but was he ever a star? I mean, obviously, nope. Austin St. Louis know him very well, and he obviously has at least a little bit of a name around the league. But that's what you'll be known as. But will you be that? Was David Perron the guy on TV and stuff, and the guy who's on the cover of video games?
No. David Perron isn't on national commercials. David Perron isn't on the cover of NHL 2K, whatever.
Yeah.
Vladimir Tarasenko is. So do you want? He's Jordan Kyrou is set to be a face of the franchise type player, but he's got to figure out the other things, and he's got to figure, he's also got to get into his head that when you're on the ice, you give it all you have until you're not on the ice.
Yeah. And if the slumps happen, they happen, obviously, and you got to work your way out of them. And I think that was the problem after the All-Star game this year. It was very hard for him to get going again.
Yeah.
And he really struggled after that. So hopefully he gets it together and got 1 year left at $2.8 million. So if he wants that hefty raise, improve your game. And that both, I mean, obviously the offensive skills are there. Like there's nothing there where you need to figure it out. Like you got it. Like I think he's elite in that manner to me.
Agreed.
The effort and the defense needs work. If you can get better, hey, even the defense minorly improves, but the effort's there, I'll take that all day, agreed, every day. So we'll go to the captain next. Ryan O'Reilly had an okay season. Obviously, another one of our 20 goal scorers, 21, 37, 58, had a very good playoff. And that's why he gets an A across the board for me, because the games when nobody looked good, it was the veterans of O'Reilly and Perron dragging this team to, like, game one against Colorado. Though they were dragging this team, you know, obviously Kyrie got the goal late in game one, but it was those two guys who were dragging this team into where it's at. So he gets an A for me, and he is definitely going to be moving on. No, not moving on, but getting another contract very soon.
Yeah, I will give O'Reilly a B in the regular season. He came on late. He was never a guy who I hated to see on the ice. But compared to years before, I feel like there wasn't the production for large periods of time that there was in the past seasons. Again, I mean, that's me nitpicking. You know, he set the bar very high his first 3 years here. Playoffs, leaders come to play in the playoffs, and Ryan O'Reilly showed up every damn game.
That's, I mean, the guy who is not a fast guy, not the strongest guy.
Nope.
But how many times did he win puck battles, steal the puck?
Agreed.
Get shots on goal.
Do stuff. Jordan Kyrou needs to learn from Ryan O'Reilly what it takes to be an NHL player.
If he just takes that effort into his skill set, the sky's the limit, honestly.
Oh, for sure. If you could put Ryan O'Reilly's heart and desire into every player on this team, they wouldn't lose a single hockey game.
Yep. And they would have won the cup easily. Like, I mean, not saying there's guys who super lack it, but just like if that, the type of effort he puts in every day is like he leaves it all out there. And that's definitely a, St. Louis Blues fans love that trait because we know we love our grinders. So, not saying he's a grinder, but we love that type of play where you're giving it your all every shift.
Agreed.
So, a guy we just talked about, David Perron, once again, keeps defying age and, being 34 years old, gets another almost 30 goal season, 27, 30 for 57 points, led the team in goals this playoffs with 9-4-1. He seemed to get
two hat tricks.
So he seemed to be he had two goals one game. He had 3-2. So that's what it was. So, but he kind of got his own Ovechkin spot on the power play. That spot.
Yeah, he really does.
He kind of like when he has a puck over there, you're almost half expecting it to go in every time he gets a shot.
Yep.
Because he's getting to be that good on the power play. One of the reasons why the power play was very good this year, he's very deadly on the power play. So he's come back to St. Louis ever since re-signing his deal again after being in Vegas and has been nothing but impressive every time. Him and O'Reilly have some chemistry. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, the chemistry that they have.
It's Hall & Oates-esque.
Yeah, it's just they know where each other is at. They are, feeding off each other. And those two are the two guys leading the way a lot of nights. So A across the board for me for David Perron.
Agreed. I can't find a flaw in Perron's season or postseason. He's guilty of a couple of offensive zone penalties, but that's David Perron. That's just how intense he is when he plays. But you can't fault him when he's putting the puck in the net every game.
Yeah. So one of the big offseason signings last year was Brandon Saad. So he signed a 5-year, $22.5 million deal. Had a very good year. His most goals since he was in Columbus, 24, 25 for 49. So obviously I say regular season, definitely an A, just like Rutherford gave him. But I think in the playoffs, he only had a couple of goals. Mind you, the one that spurred the comeback against Minnesota in game five was huge. Yeah. But my I just want to see more out of him. He just seemed like at times I didn't really hear him. Like here, he was the guy on the, you know, with Perron and O'Reilly a lot, but you didn't seem like you heard Saad's name a lot.
I agree.
And that's why I kind of give him a C for the playoffs. See, in the playoffs, I didn't really – I wanted more.
Yes.
Not saying that would have changed the tide or anything, but it seemed like he had two goals just against St. Louis in the playoff run last year. So I would have to see more out of him, and I think we will. So just, you know, we got a lot of time with him, four more years left. So I'll go with a A for regular season because another one are 20 goal scorers, but a C for the playoffs.
I'll do the exact same for the exact same reason you said.
Yep.
I think you hit the nail on the head. He came in and did a great job in the regular season, career high outside of from when he was in Columbus. But you said it. There were times in the playoffs where he was on the line with two guys who were all over the score sheet, and somehow he was invisible.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that happens, but yeah, it's
weird. So, no, there's some line shuffling at times, but still, he was there a lot. So that's what his line primarily was. So until later on, where they moved Braden Schenn that line. Right. Schenn, I think during regular season, considering all the injuries he had, his third rib injury, he had broken ribs for like a long time. Basically, throughout most of the season, he had some kind of broken rib, which is insane to think about when he was, had 24, 34 for 58. So regular season, definitely a B for me. I think, you know, obviously considering that contract he got, he had a lot of injuries too, but still, yeah. So he had finally, just to give us, I forgot, I said torn shoulder. I was wrong. It was torn oblique. So he had three rib injuries and a torn oblique, which is, and he still had led the team in assists and hits in the playoffs. So in the playoffs, you like to see the goals when you really needed it, but obviously it's hard to, I can't, because the injuries you didn't know about. So I still give him a C for the playoffs. So a B and a C for me.
I'll give him a B across the board. The thing that I will say about Braden Schenn is that you know when he's on the ice. And the reason you know when he's on the ice is because other players on the other teams are usually on their ass. That guy ain't afraid to hit anybody. And there were so many times in this playoff run where he would get that one big hit that would cause a turnover, that would spark the offense and get the Blues back in the game. And while he may not have shown up on the stat sheet, I think he did a lot to help the Blues win some of these tight games. I think if he was healthy, you see more of him on the score sheet. But I think especially knowing what we know now, to go out there and throw your body around when you have three broken ribs, man, oh, man. Like,
yeah, that's my dude. Better man than I am. So, so moving on to Vladimir Tarasenko. Tarasenko did not know what we were getting out of him this year. And we got, like somebody says on our broadcast, vintage Vladimir Tarasenko. So Tarasenko went 34, 48 for 82 points. So point per game, you know, player, which is insane. Like, I mean, that's 82, but he only played in 75. So more than 1 point per game. So in the playoffs, not too bad. Had the hat trick in game five that spurred the Blues to beat Minnesota. And I think really put the nail in the coffin of Minnesota.
Yep.
Had the goal in game five of Colorado to help that whole comeback that we had to get us to game six.
Yes.
Obviously I think definitely an A for regular season. Playoffs, I think outside of the two games, I think he has some games where he wouldn't play that well. Maybe he's getting checked tighter. I think also Robert Thomas was part of that. You know, they all that whole line was getting checked really hard in the Colorado series. So I'll do a B for him for the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll do the same. I think that you can't pick apart his regular season. I mean, no one knew what you were going to get. I was ready for him to be another four goal campaign from Tarasenko. You know, we picked him
to not do that well. Honestly, we were expecting the worst, and we got literally better than he's ever done. Almost.
I will be the first to admit that when he said, well, I'll just play this season and I'll play my heart out for St. Louis, I was like, my ass, you will. I was like, you're going to play for a trade. And if there's no trade, you're just going to shut it down. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
That guy came out to play. And I think it's one of the best seasons we've ever seen from him.
All around game. I think. I mean, goals, obviously he didn't, but I mean, but all around, I think that was the best Vladimir Tarasenko we've probably ever seen. So I think it's really good, really good for the Blues now. And who knows? Well, we'll pose the, we kind of talked about it before, but do you move Vladimir Tarasenko this offseason? Let's just say he will sign a new contract with St. Louis. Let's say maybe the, let's say he wants, let's see, he'll be like 31, 32. Let's say he wants 5 years at $5.5 million.
Here's the problem, Jason, is that with the cap not moving up the way the league intended it to, somebody's going to get left out of the St. Louis Blues. Between this year and next year, there's a lot of big names coming up that are going to get a lot of money. The Blues don't have a lot of money to play with. Someone's going to be gone. My gut tells me it's easier to replace Vladimir Tarasenko than it is to replace Ryan O'Reilly. And let's also be honest, I don't think Tarasenko's stock has ever been much higher than it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you could work with the team and that team could get a guarantee from Tarasenko to sign once traded, I would not be surprised to see Vladimir Tarasenko move to this offseason.
Yeah, there's definitely a chance. Blues have a next offseason is definitely, I say, this upcoming year is going to be kind of like, we've seen this before, the last ride for a certain core of players.
It's the calm before the storm.
Because you had the last ride when you had the Backes, Oshie,
yep,
Shattenkirk, Berglund, all those guys. Then you moved on, and then you had, with Stastny move came in, and you had that group. And then now you had, Pietrangelo was in that group. And then you had the last ride, 2019 was close to it. You think about it, they had another year of it. And then obviously Petro leaves. That shakes things up, and you bring in Justin Falk, and you're kind of refiguring things out. And you have four guys that are up after the next year. You have Jordan Kyrou, Robert Thomas, Ryan O'Reilly, Vladimir Tarasenko. And if you want to add Ivan Barbashev to that too, you can. So there's five-year top nine potential forwards are free agents to a degree. I think two are RFAs, but still, that's big.
You're not going to let Robert Thomas go.
No.
You're likely not going to let Ryan O'Reilly go. And Robert Thomas is going to get a big raise.
Yeah.
O'Reilly probably, hopefully, around the same money, maybe a little bit of a bump. So the problem then comes in, what do you offer Vladimir Tarasenko if he wants to stay? And I'm not sure he does. But that's, again, why I say, when you look at everyone else who comes up next year, there's not enough money to go around.
Yeah.
Someone's got to go.
And you're also going to try to move
someone,
guys.
I don't mean someone who makes league minimum. I mean someone with a hefty contract has got to go so that you can disperse that money and give everybody else raises. And to me, that's Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yeah, and then you have to figure out guys like Jake Neighbors, who's in the finals right now for WHL.
He's coming in.
Zachary Bolduc, probably going to go back to the juniors unless he somehow blows them away, kind of like Jake Neighbors did. But I really highly think just spot-wise, there's really not too many left for where you want to put him. So he's not really on your radar to the year after. So that leaves, you almost have to have a spot for Jake Neighbors, which to me, that screams where Ivan Barbashev is supposed to be. That's why,
and I don't disagree with that either.
And that's why I think if Barbashev doesn't prove, obviously he did really well, almost his stock is the highest it's ever been.
Also agree.
Think about it. You can trade a guy who got 26 goals who's making less than $2.5 million. You can probably get something decent for him if you really want. But Tarasenko supposedly got along with teammates, especially Buchnevitz and Barbashev. So do you want to like upset him by doing that? If you're going to keep him, do you want to trade a guy like that? Who knows?
Has there been any official word since the end of the season on where he sits with his trade request demand?
The only thing that was said during the little lock clean out by Armstrong, he's like, I expect Vladimir Tarasenko to be with this team next year. Mind you, he's not going to fly out and say, I plan on trading them, guys, just to let you know, like, obviously. Sure. But he said he expects them to be there, and they didn't say anything. That's all he said. Didn't say, like, he rescinded his trade request. He didn't do this, didn't do that. Who knows? Rutherford really doesn't know either. So, I mean, he was the one who was doing all the reporting on it. So, who knows if that kind of went away.
Right.
They've said on social media, by they, I mean, Tarasenko and his wife said the media has misconstrued things. So, who knows?
I don't know how the media misconstrues what are supposedly direct quotes from you via Jeremy Rutherford.
Yeah, basically his agent feeding them. Robert Thomas, obviously another breakout year, 20 goals, 57 assists for 77 points in the playoffs. Only 2 goals, 4 assists, and 6 points. Mind you, the 4 assists were only thing he had going into Game 5. In Game 5, he got 2 goals. Right. So, one a little bit more from him. He got Tyler Chetkin's Minnesota against their grief line. And then also tightly checked in the Colorado series. So, definitely an A for the regular season. He looked elite, as the kids say. In the playoffs, I will give him a C. I think he definitely there's room to grow there. Maybe seeing he obviously was there for most of the cup run. He got knocked out by Torrey Krug in the Stanley Cup Finals Game 1.
Right.
So he wasn't there for everything, but I think maybe now you're knowing you're the guy instead of just being a supplemental player or a secondary player. You have to be the guy. So maybe he learns from this and continues to grow. Obviously he got better in the faceoff circle this year. So maybe he slowly gets better and stuff. And maybe with the upcoming horizon, maybe one of his friends be on the team in a couple of years, maybe he improves and that will work out. So who knows? So A and a C for me.
I'm gonna give him an A and a B. I think that, again, his regular season was tremendous. It was the step forward that we've been wanting to see from Robert Thomas ever since he got here and had and won the Stanley Cup. I think that during the playoffs, he was shut down a little bit, but that entire line that was so dynamic during the regular season got really, really shut down. So I can't put it all on him. I hope that we continue to see him take steps forward. He is proving to be every bit as elite as we thought he would be. And the national stage is now starting to take notice of him.
Yeah. So, hopefully he continues to grow, and it's good news for Blues fans. So we're getting close to the end here. So we'll do these last two guys, Tarpachenko and Walker. So 2 guys that kind of came up later and revamped that fourth line. Mm-hmm. And both guys are definitely St. Louis Blues fans type of players, you know, skate hard, play the game, you know, the right way. Tarpachenko had 2 goals. A couple assists in the playoffs. Walker had 8 goals and 4 assists total in the regular season. Can't ask much more from guys called up in the AHL. Tarpachenko basically wrote himself in pen, I guess you could say, for the roster this next season. A guy that you just kind of didn't think would be a guy that would be called up that much, made a mark and didn't look out of place any game, honestly. I think he has speed. For a big, that guy, he wasn't afraid to hit, got a bit of a shot. Maybe he's a guy who can he obviously played on the third line a little bit during the playoffs in the season, but I think it's definitely the type of guy you want on your third and fourth line. So I'll take that. So he gets an A across the board. Walker, I'd just say B and an incomplete because he really didn't play much in the playoffs.
I would say the same for Walker. And I'll agree with you on your grades for Tarpachenko. One of the things that I will say is we referenced earlier, if you could put Ryan O'Reilly's heart and hustle into Jordan Kyrou, I think if you could put, from the prospect side of things, Torpachenko's drive and passion into Clem Costin's size and skill set,
I mean, Tomer Chikov is a big dude too, but I mean, yeah, I get your point though. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Clem Costin would be a guy in the top six in NHL.
Yeah, I think Torpachenko played the way we hoped Clem Costin would.
Yeah. So, well, that wraps it up for our forward group. We'll quickly move through the defense here. Robert Bortuzzo, 1 goal, 5 assists. That's really not his thing. This year, I don't know what it was. He was always a guy that, like, always bugged me on defense. He always seemed out of position and stuff. But he really improved a lot this year.
Yeah, he did.
His shot blocking was superb. I think definitely a B for me, and a B in an, I would say a B's across the board. Played well, both in, you know, playing defense was a big part of the penalty kill. So signed him for cheap for the next 2 years. So that's another thing. He took a pay cut to stay here for his next 2 years of his career. We'll take that. Even if he regresses, let's say after next season, he kind of regresses. He's still a solid seventh guy that you can use to come in and spell you and play a hard game. So just fine. So we'll take that. So B's across the board for me for Rob Bortuzzo.
Yeah, he really kind of took a step forward as a stay-home defenseman this year. And he was a phenomenal shot blocker and great on the PK when he was out there. I think he served his role well. He's not a top two guy. He's arguably a top four guy. He's definitely a bottom four guy. I think he did everything you asked of him. I'll give him a B and a B.
Yep. So a guy that, in my opinion, is the guy that you're talking about that replaces Alex Pietrangelo, and it's Justin Falk. Just led the leader of this defense, in my opinion, just plays well. 16 goals, 31 assists during the playoff, during the regular season, 1-7 during the postseason. Crazy that he almost had another 20 goals, just like another, you know, leading the way. I don't have enough good things to say considering how maybe he was just miscast or I don't know what it was his first year at the Blues, but he's turned it around and makes this trade look borderline genius for Doug Armstrong. He basically gave up, at the end of the day, gave up Joel Edmondson and a draft pick. The obviously giving up who, you know, I can't even add his name on tip of my tongue. I was ready to say it. But a former first-round pick, and he's stuck down the minors, so I don't think he's going to turn into anything. So worked out for the Blues. Justin Falk, A and A for me.
Yeah, look, he's the leader on defense. I don't care what Doug Armstrong says. I don't care what Craig Berube says. I don't care what the TV and the radio and the internet reporters have to say. It ain't Colton Parayko. It's Justin Falk. He is your number one defenseman. He is your defensive leader in the locker room. And there's nothing that you can take away from this dude's game. He is all heart. He's skill. He goes out there and hits people, and he's constantly up against some of the best players in the league. He's fantastic. And as bad as his first year was, he has followed it up with two absolutely dynamic, phenomenal seasons.
Yeah. So real happy with you, with he's done. So, moving on next to Torey Krug. Krug had 9 goals, 34 assists, and for 43 points, 3 assists in the playoffs. Obviously, he's hurt, got to add that knee injury after running around like crazy in the first round that forced him to, you know, force the team to kind of do the whole 11-7 thing. But
yeah,
leader of the power play, that was number two. So you really look at him that way. One of the few defensemen who can move the puck out besides Justin Falk with ease. So he gets B's across the board for me. Playoffs, actually, let's go C for playoffs because since he ran like an idiot and got himself injured. So we'll go with a C for playoffs and then B for regular season for me.
I would agree with all of that.
Yeah.
Every single one.
And so the big trade, the Blues trade deadline was Nick Leddy. Well, a lot of us, we poo-pooed on it just like a lot of people. Boy, were we wrong. Nick Leddy fit in really nicely and got some steadiness to the Blues defense. So 2-6 and then 1-4 in the playoffs. I'll give him B's across the board. So he fit in very seamless. The Blues re-sign him. I'm kind of curious on what kind of contract he's looking for, but I wouldn't be mad if they re-sign him, but I also would like the Blues to upgrade and use him as kind of like the safety net in case they can't find the better forward defenseman.
I love Nick Leddy, and I was a fan of his from back when he was with the Islanders the last few years and their deep run to the playoffs. I think that he has a breakout pass that is on par with what Petro used to give this team. I think that he's also got the ability to shut down other players' teams and or other teams' top players. And I don't know what they offer him. I don't know if he's interested in staying, but I would love for him to come back as the Blue.
Nico Mikkola is next on our list, and with 3 goals, 10 assists, and then 1 assist in the playoffs. For me, he's developing into a nice stay-at-home mid-defensive specialist type of guy. To me, he is the perfect 5-6-year third pairing guy. But he's he's one of the few guys on a team that brings a physical edge along for Robert Bortuzzo. Put those two on the third defensive pair and just let it go. I think that's like his best role for him. If he improves, that's great. But I think that's a plateau. I mean, you're getting a guy who is a seventh round pick. So really getting a guy who's a regular NHLer out of him, like, you really can't be argued with it. So I'll go with a B, and then playoffs, he was just okay. So I'll say a C. So B and a C for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he was very good in the regular season. He wasn't quite as good in the playoffs, but he was serviceable.
All right, and the guy, the much maligned Colton Parayko, is next, 6-29, and then 2 goals, 3 assists for playoffs. Here's the thing about Colton Parayko. He'll go through streaks of, like, play where you're like, that's the guy I want. Like, after the All-Star game, he was one of the best defensemen at 5-on-5 in the league. Chris, do you know that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he was tied for number 5 in NHL for blocked shots this year and just 10 behind the league lead. He was, you know, logged a career high, almost 1,600 minutes. But here's the thing. And which I had this comparison the other day, and I think this is a perfect comparison. We're always asking for a Jay Bouwmeester type of guy to get paired with him, right?
Yep.
So maybe it's the other way around. Maybe he's the Jay Bouwmeester guy, and then we need the offensive other guy, be the left-handed guy on his thing, and he'd be more to take the lead. And then Colton Parayko is more the, you know, maybe play safe defense. He did better, wasn't physical at all, but I think having like separation between guys and stick checking, I think that improved this year. But unfortunately, the glaring mistakes happen overshadow all that. Like the flip over the glass when nobody's around you play in game 6.
Yep.
That caused the power play, which, mind you, the goal was not considered a power play goal, but so scored 2 seconds after the power play expired. So to me, maybe he's just the Jay Bouwmeester type, and that's what he's going to be, because he's not going to be overly physical. Remember, Jay Bouwmeester, bigger dude, lanky, but bigger dude.
Right.
So maybe that's what maybe that's his plateau. Maybe he's just going to be a Jay Bouwmeester type of guy, and then you need a really good left-handed defenseman to pair with him to make that a dynamic pairing.
Chris Kerber said something on the radio on the way out of the garage after game 6, after the Blues were eliminated. And to me, it's something that I've thought about for a while, certainly the last couple of years. And that is this. If Colton Parayko is going to be treated as our number one defenseman, why are we always having the conversation about finding someone to pair with Colton Parayko to make him better? When you look at number one defensemen, by and large around the league, especially your elite defensemen, they make the other people on the ice better, not the other way around.
No matter who's with them, technically.
Right. With all apologies to Mr. Parayko, who apparently was standing 5 feet in front of me at game 6 when I called his son a 6'6" candy ass turnover machine. Like you said, the mistakes that keep happening, flipping the puck over the glass, you know, just, I can go down the list. I don't remember feeling this amount of dude get it together since, and I'm going to say a name that's harsh, but it's the truth, Eric Brewer. Now, Colton Parayko is night and day better than Eric Brewer. Not comparing the two. What I'm saying is, it seems like, just like with Eric Brewer, the mistakes that Colton Parayko makes, he continues to make. Day after day, game after game, season after season. There doesn't seem to be any... What's the word I'm looking for?
Progression?
There doesn't seem to be any lessons learned or skills improving in any of these detrimental areas. That is concerning to me.
Especially because you just handed him an eight-year deal in the offseason.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, let's just be real. Justin Falk's your number one defenseman. He is. He's your most complete guy. Arguably, Torrey Krug's your number two. But this team is going to push the narrative. Colton Parayko's the leader of the defense. Is he, though? Is he? Or is he just a guy that you drafted that had a lot of talent but seems to have plateaued and can't get over the hump of where he was a few years ago? Because I feel like he rose and he rose and he rose, and then he just leveled out.
And he's been fine too. Which is fine too. But then,
if you put the label on him, number one defenseman.
When you put that label on him that he's a number one guy, he is a guy that, okay, he can be on the top pairing, but with a guy that's definitely really good.
That's right. And you're not paying that guy $8 million a year.
And then also, you know, to me, in the offseason, I'd be interested to see what the Blues would do and to, like you said, to get him kind of comfortable over there. Is it going out and getting somebody off Philly like a Sanheim or Provorov to put with them? That'd be an interesting pairing, I think, especially Provorov. But like you said, what do we have to keep doing to make him the guy?
I'll go a step farther, Jason. A few years ago, I would have told you, especially coming off that Stanley Cup, I would have told you that I think Colton Parayko is an untouchable player. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think with having Justin Falk, with having Torrey Krug, with potentially having Nick Leddy back, assuming he comes back.
I think you know it on the right side, man. There's no way to replace that right side, though. You can't move
forward. But, I mean, if you can trade him and get something on the right.
That's true. But
save some money.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But you got to also – what other team, if we're all the stuff we're bitching about, I'm sure other teams are seeing it too. That's the way I look at it.
Sure.
Look, you know,
that being said, and the market may have cooled on him, but remember, it seemed like 3 years ago, every call that came into the Blues front office for a trade, that was the guy they wanted above and beyond anybody else on the roster.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's someone out there who would gladly take on that salary and give something big in return.
Let's say Edmonton calls, and let's say, I don't know, let's just say they call and they won them. Maybe could interesting of what you could pull off over there.
Well, I got a feeling Edmonton's calling probably real soon about one of our RFAs, our UFAs.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit here. We'll wrap up the defense real quick. Scott Brunovich got hurt at the beginning of the year after having a very great start to the year down the AHL, and looked like he was going to be really key contributor. Then he got another wrist injury.
Yeah.
But came back in the playoffs.
Looked great.
Looked great running the power play and fit in. Like when Krug was out, he got put in and it was seamless. And it was, and he looked really good. The 5-on-5 obviously is a work in progress. But if that's your power play specialist and for a second round pick, that's great.
Agreed.
I'll go with a B, and then I'll go with a C for the playoffs because really good at the power play stuff. Not great at the 5-on-5, so we'll say C, almost a B. He's really close to a B for playoffs, but we'll just say a C.
I'll go with a C for the regular season, and I'll go with a B for the playoffs. I think he was stuck in it. He was plugged into a situation with little time to catch up, and I think he did as well as could be expected.
All right, and then another guy that we will talk about a lot is Marco Scandella. So 3 goals, 11 assists. But obviously, he's the one that was supposed to be the other stabilizing force on the left side of Colton Parayko. And I think him not being great turns into maybe Colton Parayko trying to overcompensate and him not being great or even competent at times. So Marco Scandella, for me, as much as looks good at times, and then but really not great at times. For making almost $4 million a year, you need to be pretty good all the time, in my opinion. I'll be polite and give C's across the board because he was hurt in the playoffs for most of it. We'll go with double C's. So,
sure, I'll be polite too and go double C's as well.
Yeah. So another guy who just got a new contract from the Blues, Callie Rosen, came up. Looks good at times. He's a guy who could spell people at times, but not a guy you should be relying on in the second round of the playoffs as your second pairing, third pairing guy, in my opinion. He's definitely a guy in the minors who can get called up for a spell or even be your seventh defenseman, but that's about it. But he signed a new deal, which is nice. So he gets a two-year, two-way deal. So about first out $700,000, $800,000. Good for him. I think he played well enough to deserve that. We need guys like that who's, a young veteran. He's like in later 20s. Great. That's a guy you need for your AHL team that they get called up on occasion. So I'll definitely say we'll save Rutherford B's across the board.
Yeah, that's fine.
So got called him. I think he looked a little overwhelmed in the playoffs to me, so I could say a C.
Yes.
But, you know what? I'm going to go rewind. No edit, but whatever. B's. B for rare season, C for playoffs. I'll say
it's C.
Yeah. So into our goalie situation. So obviously Jordan Binnington struggled during the regular season tremendously. Got supplemented. There we go. By Ville Husso. Didn't look great there. But Jordan Binnington got it together after Ville Husso stumbled in the first round. And Jordan Binnington looked like the 2019 version until the Nazem Kadri hit. So now we remember two or three podcasts ago, we had the name of the podcast was Binnington or Husso. And we were talking about possibly figuring out who would take the Jordan Binnington in the playoff after the season so we can sign Ville Husso. Sure. Now, of course, that's not the case because Jordan Binnington looked great. And I think it's good that he went through that kind of adversity. And it shows that you have to continually fight, continually try to improve. And I think that was good for him. In the playoffs, 1.72 goals against, and it was a 95 save percentage. That's elite. I firmly believe if he was the goalie for the rest of the Colorado series, we might be talking about who knows, we would have done Edmonton. I think we would have beat Edmonton.
I do too.
Maybe not in a sweep, but we would have beat Edmonton for sure. Who knows? We're talking about us getting ready to go to the Stanley Cup Finals again. If we had Jordan, I think honestly, and it's not, and not me being a homer, I think the way he was playing,
he was ready.
He was on it. And I think and he had the number of those guys for a lot of games. I mean, he looked great. He had McKinnon's number for those first couple of games, and McKinnon really didn't break free, except for one game. Outside of that, I think we would have been fine. Regular season, definitely a C for Jordan Binnington, but playoffs, A. Firmly believe he's back. He'll be the goalie for going forward after signing his big deal. I'm okay with that. So,
regular season was up and down for him. He started off decent, but it seemed like right around Thanksgiving ish he went into a tailspin and could not pull out. This team could win three or four games in a row with Husso and net. They put Binnington in against a cupcake opponent and he'd fall on his face.
Was an Edmonton game where they scored three goals in the first 10 minutes of the game. He got pulled, and that, I think that was the low point of the season for him.
He looked shook. Like, he just looked like he had lost it. And you're right. I got to the point where I was like, well, he gave us a cup, but I think my boy's done.
Yeah, we talked about the Cam Ward thing where he just had one really good run and then was an average goalie after that. But
dude,
if he continues like this, it'd be great.
You hit the nail on the head. When he came in game four, rewind. I went to game three of the Stanley Cup playoffs, first home game against Minnesota. I watched the warmups and I looked at my friend that I went with and I went, Blues are screwed, because Ville Husso couldn't stop a beach ball in warmups. Like, couldn't stop a damn thing. And I was like, Blues are going to get the doors blown off in this game. And they did. And then you and I went to game four when they put Binnington in. And I think we all knew after that game three that he had to give Binnington a look. Mm-hmm. And he was lights out.
Yeah, I remember they scored the goal early and we looked at each other like, oh, crap, here we go. And then he shut it down after that.
Yeah.
He played great. So hopefully he continues like
this. Look that way every single game.
Yep, and he looked great. Like, yeah, like he didn't have a, like I say, a flaw, but he was on top of it. All the goals that were against him and from there on out were well-earned goals. Yep. And I think he was really great. So Binnington, definitely the starter next year, but who will be the backup is the question. So Husso obviously supplemented him during the season. If you remember back in 2019, it was weird because that role that Jordan Binnington had should have been Ville Husso, but Ville Husso had a knee injury, so they had to go with Binnington because they legit had nobody else. Yeah. And Binnington obviously did what he did, and Ville Husso was a black ace that year. So it's really interesting how that now they're both, you know, on this, you know, he's the backup, supplemented Husso, supplemented Binnington, and then Binnington supplemented him again. So Husso had a great year, 25-7-6, 2.56, 920. In the playoffs, he's 2-5 with 3.1 goals against. So it wasn't great in the playoffs. But regular season, you got to give an A. Or excuse me, I didn't even give my grades to Jordan Binnington, did I? Yeah, I did. I said C and A. Yeah, that's right. So you have to give an A for regular season because it wasn't for him. Let's be honest. Blues might not have been in the position they were, where they were.
Agreed.
They might have been fighting for me a wild card. It wasn't for him. Let's be honest. And he winds up turning it around and making them the way they were. Playoffs. We'll go with a C because, I mean, shut out to start it with Minnesota looking great. And then after that, it was just uphill battle after that.
It was white knuckling every game.
Yeah.
I'll agree with those grades. I mean, I think without Ville Husso, this team may not even make the playoffs. But outside of game one, he looked very pedestrian.
Yeah. And Charlie Lindgren was in for, he had his 5-game winning streak. So got to give him an A for that. Playing the playoffs, obviously. Playing down the minors. We'll talk about that in a second. You got to give we had the coaches. If you want to do the coach, Ruby did great. I think it's an A. Armstrong, A. He revamped this team and got them to where they're at. Team was obviously had 920 goal scorers, which is insane.
Ridiculous.
Which you didn't think that was going to happen during the year, coming into the year. But they wound up doing great. So, offseason comes out. We're going to do the big offseason later on. It's obviously we're doing grades. It's a little bit longer podcast. So we're going to do an offseason later. Who knows who the backup will be? That'll be the big story going into the offseason. What will the Blues do? We'll talk about that later. Right before we wrap it up, though, the Blues, minor league team, the Thunderbirds, the baby Thunderbirds, had a big game last night against Laval, which is the Montreal Canadiens minor league team. And another big win. Eastern Conference Finals, they are up 2-1 now. So they play a couple more this week. Hopefully they can close it out. And then it looks like they might be playing the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves are up 3-0 in the West. So there's potential that they might be playing them. I think that's a very great story. I will be paying close attention to that. So Will Bitton played great the other night, 4 goals for the Springfield Thunderbirds. We'll take it. Joel Hofer, however you want to say it, look like he's playing great. That's great to see for Blues fans. I think another year of seasoning for him, and that might be your backup. I think Lindgren has potential to be your backup next year. We'll talk about that later, though. So anything else, Chris? We got the nail down here.
We should mention that Sunday is the 3-year anniversary of We Went Blues Day.
Yeah, so 3 years since the Blues won the Stanley Cup. I know they're doing the replay of Game 7 on Fox Sports or Bally's or whatever. I can run down
everything you need to know right now.
All right, Chris, we'll do that.
Game 7, in their words, will air at 7 p.m. Sunday on Bally Sports Midwest, also on the Bally Sports app. There are a bunch of merchandise deals at STL Authentics. There will be a We Went Blues Day auction with jerseys, artwork, signed pucks, things like that. All the details that you need to know are on the Blues website. Anything you want to put social media wise that day regarding winning the Stanley Cup, use the hashtag We Went Blues. And also, I think it is mandatory that you get drunk as balls and try to sing Gloria like Brett Hall.
Yes, that's the only version that matters in my mind. So do a little Brett Hall singing on Sunday. So we'll tweet some stuff out, and maybe we'll do
it. And also take a picture of yourself tweaking your nips like Brett.
Yes, I'm wearing a Ric Flair drip shirt, which is fantastic. Yes. So you got that. And I'll just mention this too, that the Blues tweeted out that June is Pride Month. They actually, Blues are notorious for kind of not really putting stuff out there like that, but they did. The Blues are going to talk about initiatives they're taking, and they put that out there. I know they took some flack for it, which it is what it is. You guys are idiots. Many of the people talking to the Blues. I'm glad the Blues did the Pride Month stuff. So I'm really happy that they put that out there. So thank you for doing that, St. Louis Blues. Means a lot. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up there. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's at Blues Hockey NHL.
I'm at Hossapalooza.
If you want to hold us on Facebook or Twitter, it's at Blues Hockey Podcast for either Facebook and Instagram. So check those out. Go to our website. It's blueshockeypodcast.net or blueshockeypodcast.com. Those will have links to everywhere to download the podcast, which includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Anchor, all the good places to find us. You can find us anywhere on the intranets, and also you can play the podcast on the website if you like to. Also on the website, you're going to have links to a bunch of different stuff on there, including Rockstar Taco Shack. So Rockstar Taco, I got to go down there again to see Will, another great meal. 4916 Shaw, I know they are doing, I think, coming up the 17th, so not this week, but the following week, I believe they're doing a Pride themed trivia. The first one sold out, but they got a lot of interest. They're doing two of them at night, so look on their page on Facebook, their event page for their Pride night trivia. It's like they do every Tuesday. Call and reserve your table, get some great food, do some fun trivia, meet some great people. Will, Rebecca, and everybody down there are great, so go down there and
I told them. Rebecca, I guess there were some people who got all negative about them for doing a Pride night themed event.
Yeah.
And I said, you let me know if people keep giving you crap, and I'll come down there and be the 7 foot tall guy in drag.
Yeah.
So if anyone would like to join me in showing the closed-minded idiots that there's nothing to be afraid of, go raid your mama, your sister, your girl, whatever's closet,
and grandma,
get you a dress, and we'll go get some tacos in a skirt and be happy and fat.
Yep. That would be great. So go check them out for sure. Also check out Lucky Lola's. So Lucky Lola's, get ready for summer barbecues. You have the Lucky Lola's Sweet Jalapeno Heat, the Bratwurst. They're coming out with meat sticks, phrasing, and Chris's favorite.
Man, I tell you what, it's summertime. It's time for some meat sticks, and it's time to rub your salmon.
So a bunch of, you can do your own phrasings for everything I just said there. So go ahead and add your own phrasings in for that. That's a wrap it up there. So, sad to see the Blues season end, but I think it'd be interesting offseason. So a couple questions, hopefully. Hopefully get some answers for those. Blues have a decent draft pick this year, number 23. So we'll see if they hold on to that number one pick. It'll be very interesting. So that'll be a bit for now. So thanks for listening for this season. We're both of me and Chris are very grateful for everybody who tunes in, listen to us ramble on about wrestling, hockey, and all the other stuff in between, talk about our lives and stuff. So finishing, believe it or not, Chris, finishing year number 7.
Ain't wrong with that.
6 or 7. I have to look at the exact number because we started maybe halfway. We started with the Oshie year. So that was 16.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So 6 years. So yeah, we've been going. So 6 years going strong. One Stanley Cup in there. So not too bad. So 200 plus episodes. So thank you everyone for listening, downloading, you know, tweeting stuff out, following us on the social medias. Of course, thanks to all of our sponsors for, you know, sticking around, listening with us and doing really great stuff. We enjoy everything that we get to do here. So we'll be back. We'll keep coming back as long as you guys keep listening. So once again, thank you very much from the bottom of my heart, honestly. Sometimes it's a lot of work, really late nights putting this together. It doesn't seem like it. I'll be honest. I know people say that, but it does take a lot of time out of a schedule sometime. And I thank Chris for once again taking time out of his schedule every week every 2 weeks, whatever we get to do this thing, to talk Blues hockey and some wrestling and whatever we get to do in between. So it means a lot. So thanks, everyone. And thanks, Chris. We'll keep coming to you. Thanks, guys. Crazy.